All right. Turn to Proverbs chapter 10. We are getting into a new section in Proverbs. Now we're going to hit a section where we have lots of little sayings, and we'll talk about them as we go. And we're going to try to hit a chapter a week, so we have 21 more chapters to go, and then we'll be done. That's 21 weeks. So that's cool. Proverbs chapter 10. Okay, as we continue our series, Lessons from My Father, this morning's message is called The Glad Father and the Joyful Mother. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We praise you for your holiness and your goodness. And Lord, we continue our worship of you as we pay attention to your words. And Father, teach us how to be good children, to grow up to be good people that worship you and exalt your holy name. And so, Father, instruct us in your words today. Teach us. And we ask this in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Well, I venture to guess, none of you woke up this morning and you thought, I wonder what I could do to really make my dad not proud of me. Yeah, you probably did. Or how many of you woke up this morning and said, you know, I want to give my mom a lousy day. And that's what he did over there. None of us would want to do that. We don't seek to get the disapproval of our parents. I think pretty much most of us want to be pleasing to our parents. And if you don't have that heart, there's probably some serious underlying problems, and there's probably some counseling that needs to be done in the family. But I trust that all of you want to be pleasing to your parents. And in this morning's message, we're going to look at five basic areas that a child will make their father glad and their mother joyful. And at first, we're going to look at their love for God and their parents. That makes a glad father and a joyful mother. And then we'll look at a child be known for their labor, their hard work, not their laziness. Third, to be known for their learnedness, their obedience to God and parents, and the application of knowing what is right. Fourth, they will be known for their language. Their speech is filled with wisdom and knowledge reflecting Christ. And fifthly, a child be known for their love of life. And so let's read verse 1 through 3. And verse 1 through 3 is kind of like an introduction to this chapter. Let me get rid of my little piece of gum. Excuse me. No chewing gum in class. There we go. All righty. Now I got the gum out. Okay, let's go. First, let's read verse 1. The Proverbs of Solomon. A wise son makes a glad father, but a foolish son is the grief of his mother. Treasures of wickedness profit nothing, but righteousness delivers from death. The Lord will not allow the righteous soul to famish, but he casts away the desire of the wicked. So first of all, we discover that a wise child, because we have ladies here, makes a glad father. And we could say that a wise child brings joy to the family. I mean, you think about it, you know, observe other families where their kids aren't quite behaving and you know, what's the mood of the family? It's not a happy day. Yeah, that's true, and that's a very good point. But I trust you come from a family that loves you pretty good. Thank God for that, right? And so, but, you know, A wise child brings joy to the family. It's good to desire to please your parents. It's not a bad thing. It's good. And it's a horror for a parent to hear that their kid is acting foolishly. If I heard my daughters were acting like idiots at school, I'd be pretty disappointed. Yeah, it would be trouble. Because dad would intervene. But it's good to desire to please your parents in the Lord. And that's one of the commandments that Paul gives us in Ephesians, children, obey your parents in the Lord. In the Lord. And that's a key phrase, in the Lord. Also, in this, a wise child's love, there's a promise of a loving heavenly father. Notice he says, treasures of wickedness profit nothing. And you think about the wicked. What are things that wicked people do? Okay, they make fun of you, but let's say they steal, they rob, they lie, beat you up for your lunch money. But you know what? In the end, if they do not repent, all that gain profits them nothing because they will be held accountable for their own sins. You'll be held accountable. But if you're a righteous kid, you're given the glories of heaven. And a righteous kid being one who trusts in Jesus Christ, one who asks Jesus to forgive them of their sins and asks Jesus to rule their lives. That's a righteous child. And God says, I give you the treasures of heaven. What a deal. Also in verse 3, the Lord will not allow the righteous soul to famish. Does anybody know what it means to famish? To starve, yeah. To lack nothing. God promises you that he will give you everything that you need. Need. You need water. You need clothes. In some places, you definitely need shelter. But he promised you everything that you need. He doesn't promise he'll give you all your greeds, but he says, I'll meet all your needs. And now, but let's face it, each and every one of us here are blessed above and beyond they could ever ask or think. We live in a country that's very, very wealthy. You could travel, for about 400 miles south and cross the border from El Paso to Juarez, and you can go into these little shanty towns made out of cardboard where you have open sewage. Oh. Yeah. Been there.
I've got a scary story.
Okay.
Yeah. I was in South Texas visiting my aunt, and we went over the border, I think, to Matamoros.
Ooh, yeah.
And seriously, you have to cross over a bridge, and there were kids, like, I don't know, I guess maybe 10 years old or around that age, and they were seriously begging for money. They had no money. And so,
that's scary?
Yeah, well, because it's a reality. These kids have no food. They have nothing. And so I just always remember that. It was kind of, I was young when I went over there. I was like that kid's age, and he was asking me for money.
Right.
That's true.
And that's true. Go. One more scary story. Okay.
And then this guy by our house didn't have like pipes or whatnot, so sewage just like popped out of his house.
Yeah. Yeah. And so God promises to meet all our needs, and thank God for that. So the wild child's love is he brings joy to a family, and he has the promise of a loving heavenly father. But a wise child is known for his love for God and his parents. You want to be wise? Be known for your love for God and your parents. That is wisdom. And you notice it doesn't say God says you have to get an A in algebra to be wise.
Really?
That's right. He says wisdom comes by loving him and loving your parents. That's right. When the Bible talks about wisdom, he's not necessarily talking about your intellect. It's talking about how you act out with your heart. That's important. Okay, let's look at the second thing. The wise child is known for their labor. And we're going to look at verses 4 and 5 and 16 and 26. He who has a slack hand becomes poor, but the hand of the diligent make rich. He who gathers in the summer is a wise son or a wise child. He who sleeps in the harvest is a child who causes shame. Verse 16. The labor of the righteous lead to life, and the wages of the wickedness to sin. Verse 16. Check out this word picture. As vinegar is to the teeth and smoke to the eyes, so is the lazy man to those who send him. First of all, in this, a wise child is not lazy. You want to grow in wisdom? Let's begin at home. A wise child is helpful at home, not lazy. He's helpful in the neighborhood, at school, at church. And eventually, you'll take these diligent work habits into the workplace, which will help you be successful. And diligence begins at home. Diligence begins by doing stuff that you know that needs to be done without being told.
What if you like garlic?
And what does garlic have to do with all this?
Because you just said something about garlic.
No, I said vinegar. But diligence begins at home. It begins by knowing that your parents are going to tell you to do something. Why don't you just do it before they tell you? Give your dad a heart attack. What? You cleaned your room and I didn't have to yell at you?
I do that all the time.
You know, that's wise. That's wise. That's learning not to be lazy. You know, a lazy person will say, you know, your parents will give you a task or your teacher will give you a task and you do it half of it and you didn't do all of it and your excuse is, well, you didn't tell me to do that. You know, that's foolish. A diligent person will say, you know what, I need to do that. And a diligent person goes beyond what he's told to do. He goes the second mile. That's wisdom. That's wisdom. Diligence plays off in sports. Isn't that right, Zach? If you're lazy at basketball practice, you probably wouldn't be a starter, right? Coach would probably say, you know, you don't work that hard. You're not going to be a starter. So be diligent. That's important. Be diligent in your schoolwork. Be diligent in your chores at home. Be diligent. That's a wise child. And it also makes your parents glad. Also, a wise child is known for their labor in building the kingdom of God. You know, I hope you guys care about the kingdom of God. And you care by, first of all, praying, seeking after God. Asking God, God, what do you want me to do with my life for your glory? Here, God gave you this life, this body, a future. Ask him what he wants to use you for. And it doesn't mean that he's going to send you to be a missionary in Timbuktu or anything like that. It may be. And if he does, you're going to be glad to go. But God can use your life very simply in very simple, everyday ways by beginning with you seeking first him and first the kingdom of God. Ask God what he wants you to do. You know, pray, share with others. Also, a wise child is known for their labor is helpful. I like that verse 26. As vinegar is to the teeth. And what's vinegar like? Nasty.
I like tried to drink some one time. I like threw up.
White vinegar?
Yeah.
You know, my favorite vinegar is balsamic vinegar.
Vinegar sometimes good.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I like red vinegar and salad. Oh, you like vinegar? My wife loves those vinegar chips. They're good. But in this area, you know, the vinegar, they would ferment fruit, and it turned to vinegar, and it's, and he says, as vinegar is to the teeth, and what is smoke to the eyes?
It burns.
It burns. So is the lazy man to those who send him. The lazy guy. It's a word picture. Is, you know how, your dad sent you to go help the neighbor. Yeah, you're like, you're no help at all. You're worthless. And that's, I don't want any of you be known to have the reputation of being a worthless kid. They're going to say, Dad Ian, he's a great guy. He comes, he gets things done. He's respectful, he's kind, he's not lazy, he's a good guy. And because he's that, instead of paying what he asks, I pay him over what he's, because he's worth more than what he asks. And you know what, guys? You know, we're kind of tongue-in-cheek about this right now, but that's going to happen at work. I knew some guys, this is a true story, I worked with, and they used to have this attitude, they don't pay me enough to work hard. And I would say, well, you agreed to work for this wage. Hello? Hello? But when time came for layoffs at that place, they were the first ones gone. They were the ones that never got good raises. Be diligent. Don't be lazy. Work hard. It begins at home by listening to your parents, cleaning your room. It's transferred into working hard at school. Didn't say you have to be straight A students. It says work hard. Being diligent, and you know, and you're going to take all those habits into the workplace where you'll probably be pretty successful.
What if you work hard and still get a D?
That's okay. You're working hard. That's what counts. Because that shows character. You know, there's a statistic that's very important in the workplace. You know, the good grades will probably get you the job, but it's those who work hard and have a good attitude that people like. They'll forget about the grades. It's how well you get along with people in the workplace and how hard you work and how much you care about your job and the kind of job you do. That's important. So we go on. So we saw the wise child's love and the wise child's known for their labor. Now let's look at their learnedness. Learnedness means is their ability to learn or how much they know. God wants us to be teachable people. And let's read it, verse 8. The wise in heart will receive commands, comma, and there's a lot of little buts in Proverbs. And what does a but mean? We sit on it, it's behind us. No, a but in English is something that gives a contrast. Well, look at the contrast. The wise in heart receives command, but a prating fool will fall. He's given a contrast. If you live like this, success. But if you do this, failure. Wise people store up knowledge, verse 14, but the mouth of the foolish is near destruction. Verse 17, he who keeps instruction is in the way of life, but he who refuses correction goes astray. The wise heart receives commands and instructions. That's important. Remember the beginning, it says, a wise son brings gladness to his father's heart. There's nothing more frustrating when your kids don't listen to you. They think they're smarter than you. And as I tell my daughters, you know, I said, we're smarter than you. Hello. And there may be things that we're trying to teach them is that you may not understand why your parents say the things that they say for you to do, and you may disagree with it. But you know what? If you obey them, you'll find wisdom. Because the fact of the matter is, your parents have already been where you've been. They've lived life longer. They can see the full consequences of things, and they say, you know what? I don't think it's a good idea you hang around that friend. They've seen the results of people who live a certain way. Or they tell you not to do a certain thing. They've been there. And you may not understand it now, but if you obey, you will appreciate it later. It's important to receive instruction. A fool does not receive instruction. A fool thinks they already know it. But you know, if you go listen to your parents with a listening heart, or your teachers, or somebody who's giving you instruction, it could be at work, and you think you know it all, you're going to miss some details that are important. I can imagine, and your job is super important to listen. Can you imagine Sam if she was a foolish heart and she looks at the prescription and says, this doctor doesn't know what he's talking about. I'm going to give him double the dosage, you know. And there goes Aunt Jane, you know. Aunt Jane ends up in the hospital. You know, you have to have a discerning heart. There's probably will be a time she looks at a prescription and it doesn't look right, and she may have to call the doctor up and say, this prescription's asking, are you sure you want to give this much dosage? You know, doctors make mistakes. And, you know, and that's good to have a pharmacist to double-check their diagnosis. But we need to receive instruction. We don't want to be like that prating fool. Also, the wise in heart store up knowledge. It's good to learn. It's good to know what things are. And there's a point, it's good to know ungodly things, what they are, to be able to discern what is good and true and noble and praiseworthy. I heard one person put it this way, is regarding to things that aren't godly. He says, treat it like poison. Know what it is, but don't let it get inside you. So we need to store up knowledge. A wise person stores up knowledge, but a wise person knows how to use their knowledge. That's the trick. You know, you guys been in the class, and there's the class know-it-all. And the class know-it-all, you get tired of him. He knows it all, but he doesn't know how to use his knowledge in a way that people can receive. You get tired of him. Learn to use your knowledge wisely. And third thing that the wise in heart do, they keep instruction. They keep it in their heart. They keep it in the forefront of their mind so they can do what as they're told or how to use their knowledge. They keep instruction. Fourth, a wise child is known for their language. Why is language important? Okay, you could say bad things, but you know what? What's language, basically? Say that again. Yeah, and where does that come from? What you speak, your brain. Let's go even lower. Yes, Jesus said, "Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth will speak." So you can learn a lot from a person by the things that they talk about. Like, if you know me for a while and you coming to my class, what sport do I like?
Oh, baseball.
Yeah. The Cardinals. See, you learn things about what people say. You learn stuff. Language is important. And so a wise child is known for their language. Let's look at some verses here. Verse 11. The mouth of the righteousness, let's try this again. The mouth of the righteous is a well of life. Ooh, another great word picture. You live in the desert. What's important?
Water.
Yes. Okay, the mouth of the righteous is a well of life, but violence covers the mouth of the wicked, the contrast. One gives life, one takes life. Hatred stirs up strife, but love covers sins. That's verse 12. Verse 13. Wisdom is found on the lips of him who has understanding, but a rod is for the back of him who is devoid of understanding. That means you got to beat a guy to understand, you know, like, hello. And maybe some of your parents had to get that paddle and beat it in your bottom so you understand. Did that ever happen to you? I hope so. And you know why they did it? Well, more than that.
So I can learn.
Yes. And what was their motivation? Because they love you. Every loving father will discipline his kid. You may not like it, but they do it because they love you. And that's what I tell my daughters. I says, I discipline you because I love you, because I don't want you to grow up to be a brat. And, you know, your mid-hires, I could say it this way. Your parents don't want you to grow up to be a jerk, okay? All right? Your parents want you to grow up to be honorable people. And they do that because they love you. God disciplines me because I'm a jerk. And he doesn't want me to be a jerk. He wants me to be a righteous human being. Okay, verse 18, whoever hides hatred has lying lips. Whoever spreads slander is a fool. Verse 19, in the multitude of words there is not lacking, but he who restrains his lip is wise. The tongue of the righteous is choice silver. The heart of the wicked is worth little. Verse 21, the lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for the lack of wisdom. Verse 31, the mouth of the righteous brings forth wisdom, but a perverse tongue will be cut out. Verse 32, the lips of the righteous know what is acceptable, but the mouth of the wicked what is perverse. As we said, language reveals the heart. It reveals much about the person, and we want our language to reflect Christ. We want to reflect what Jesus is doing in our hearts. God desires we fill our hearts with this knowledge so that we could be a well of life, that our hearts would be ready to share the gospel at a moment. You know, you guys have great influence, and you don't even realize it, do you? You guys are a great influence on your friends. You know, my friend shared the gospel with me when I was a teenager. He was a great influence on me. I received Christ at 17. You guys can be an influence on your friends. You could be that well of life, of good, wholesome water. Let that language come out of you. Also, God desires we fill our hearts with his knowledge so that we are loving and gracious people. Verse 12, he says, hatred stirs up strife, but love what? Covers sin, a multitude of sin. Doesn't God do that for you? When Jesus died for you, he covered you with his blood. He covered our sins. He is gracious to us. And so our language should reflect the graciousness of God by being gracious to other people. The Bible says, as Christ has forgiven you, you forgive others. Be gracious. God desires we fill our hearts with knowledge so that we are dependable for godly advice. When you know God's word, you can give godly advice. You know, think of examples when you're hanging out with your friends or your brothers or sisters and they're not knowing what to do, but God has given you a word. You can give godly advice. You can show them and says, you know what? right here, my friend did this to me. One of the first things that happened to me when I got saved. Speaking of language, he showed me a verse in Colossians, I think it's 3:17, and Paul wrote to the Colossians, says, put all filthy language out of your mouth. You know, I had a reputation of being called Frankie Foulmouth. I was a cusser. And he gave me good counsel. Put all filthy language out of your mouth. You know, guys, expand your vocabulary. Learn new words. You don't have to be stuck in the old gutter words. Learn new words to express yourself. Language is marvelous. It's something that God gave us. So use it wisely. God desires we fill our hearts with knowledge so that we are self-controlled in our speech. You know, the problem is sometimes we got to learn to know when to speak and when to say things and how to say it. There are some people who are bulldozers, who speak their mind, give their opinions no matter what, and all they are is just like a bulldozer knocking over a building, offending people, hurting people's feelings. Learn to be wise in controlling your speech. And let's continue on. The wise child's love of life. We finish with this. Verse 27. The fear of the Lord prolongs days, but the years of the wicked will be shortened. The hope of the righteous will be gladness, but the expectation of the wicked will perish. The way of the Lord is strength for the upright, but destruction will come upon the workers of iniquity. The righteous will never be removed, but the wicked will not inhabit the earth. First of all, God promises prolonged days. Does this mean a super long life? Well, not necessarily, but this definitely God promises us a quality of life, a quality of years. You know, I'd rather live a short life filled with the presence and glory of God than a long life filled with wickedness, living apart from God. It's better to go to heaven maimed than to go whole into hell. It's God promises a quality life. We have the hope of heaven. We have the hope of walking with Him daily. Take advantage of that, walking with Jesus daily. Also, He promises days filled with gladness. Happy days are truly here again. There's no greater joy than knowing that you can walk with the Lord. No greater joy. What an awesome privilege knowing that Jesus lives in you. I mean, that's awesome. You can have the crummiest day on earth and you can reflect on the fact that Jesus is there with you, in you, living in you. And He's carrying you through it. He promises strength-filled days. As we walk in the way of the Lord, we can trust, we can walk in His strength. Would you rather walk with one who can create the heavens and the earth by just the word of His mouth? Yeah. What a guarantee. And when things go bad, and they will go bad because that's the way life is, we will have heartache, we will have disappointments, we will have many tears. But God says He'll be your strength and He'll carry you through it. So in conclusion, remember, we seek to live for the approval of God and our parents. That's wisdom. This is a good and wise endeavor. As we do this, we seek to be known by our labor and not laziness. We seek to be known by our learnedness and not foolishness. And we are made known by our language, which was filled with the knowledge and spirit of God. Let these things fill your lives. And finally, we live with the love of life, knowing we serve an awesome and loving God. And I want to give you three things, applications. Take this home. First, be diligent at home. Don't be lazy at home. Do your chores without being asked. I challenge you. Start doing things without having to be told. If you know to do it, do it. That's wisdom. Be teachable. Your parents are trying to teach you something. Instead of lipping off at the lip, zip it up put focus your eyes on what they're saying and listen to their hearts. Okay? I know these are hard. It was hard for me when I was a teenager. Believe me, I was a kid who needed to go to the woodshed a lot. And thirdly, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Allow God's Spirit to rule your heart. And you say, well, how do I get filled with the Holy Spirit? Well, you know, it's an act of faith. Ask God to fill you. In your prayer, say, Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit. Rule over me. Dominate my heart. You be in control. Do it by faith. Let's pray. Father, we thank you again for your word. They are like choice silver on a golden platter. And you give it to us for us to eat, to enjoy, to ingest, to transform our lives. And Father, by faith, we ask right now that you would fill us with your Holy Spirit, that you would dominate our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, that, Lord, that you would help us to not be lazy and do things that we're not told to do and go the second mile. And Father, we also pray that we would be teachable. Even though we may get upset and disagree, but you would settle our hearts and that we would listen to the instruction. Father, do that work in our hearts today so that we may have the love of life because of the things that you promised. We thank you and praise you, Jesus, for your goodness and your mercy. And I pray, Lord, you would bless each and every one of these guys today. In your name we pray. Amen. God bless.